Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. Have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
It's harder and harder to cut through the woman in the red dress. At least it will be for the next few days. Welcome to the Mark Roslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network Radio, the way it should be. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time, though that's changing. Right now we're 6 a.m. To 8 a.m. Central Time, followed by my good friend Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show. He picks it up at 8 o'clock, drives us home to 11-ish, and then David Simpson comes up at 12. He takes it 2 hours to 2. We've got some great programming for you throughout the day, so stay tuned. But there are changes a-coming. And November 14th, I will be moving to afternoon drive time. For those of you who have some familiarity with the radio business, there are three major segments to the day. There is the morning drive time, the afternoon drive time, and then the midday lunch drive time. And so beginning November 14th, the Veritas Radio Network will be making considerable changes to work alongside of those realities that are in the radio world. So we'll be offering program in the morning, afternoon, and on your way home to work. How about that? Some big changes coming. So soon, you'll be hearing the Mark Roslin Show from 2 to 5 Central Time. That'd be 3 to 6 on the East Coast. Those of you who are getting in your cars, getting ready to go home from another productive day of work, will be able to tune in and listen live. We'll be able to offer truth throughout the day here on the Veritas Radio Network. As live call-in programs, that means you can always call in live. Our number is 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Always appreciate when you guys call. We have some great discussions over the past few days with listeners who have called in, and at which point I become a listener. I take my host hat off, and I listen, just like your fellow listeners, because well, there are some abilities that I have that not everybody has. The reality is we're all in this mess together. And so I learn things, I listen like you do. And so if you'd like to call the program anytime you'd like, you can by picking up your smartphone, opening up the keypad, and dialing the numbers 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. My website is markroslins.com. My email, you can email me through that website, mark@markroslins.com. My Facebook page is facebook.com/TheMarkRoslinShow. While you're there, please like the page. It's another way for us to stay in touch. And my Twitter handle is @markroslins, K-R-E-S-L-I-N-S. Well, the national election circus progresses, as we know. There ain't no stopping it. It's coming. November 8th is going to be an election. People are going to go to the polls, and they are going to, with some measure of trepidation or excitement, cast a vote. And as we all know, things are changing. Again, I try not to get caught up in this. I look forward to the day we can get back to discussing real solutions to the mess we face versus sophomoric solutions that are designed to keep us trapped in the matrix, the illusion of freedom. I'm going to talk about that here a little bit later, because that's a big part of the problem. We live in an illusion of freedom, but we all down deep know we really aren't free, are we? The question becomes, you know, free to what? We're going to talk about that here throughout the morning. But right now, the latest updates from RCP, Real Clear Politics, has the gap down to 1.7 points between Clinton and Trump. That is well within the margin of error. And if you saw the chart or looking at the chart I'm looking at, Trump continues the meteoric climb, straight up now, sustained over 2 days. And her support continues to slip. And there is rapidly coming a point where it appears Trump's red line will cross over Hillary's blue line. And this is some big stumble out there, which is, of course, with these two candidates, always that possibility. She had a stumble foisted upon her, a good one, by the way, one that was necessary in her exposure of her being a criminal. It's right now looks to be in reality a tie game. Let's see what's going on over on 538. They have lowered the predictions to 71.2% chance of Hillary still winning. And there is still, the odds are still in her favor, folks. There's a lot of excitement as the polls are moving, but you need to prepare yourself. Those of you who are believing that this election will bring about some major changes, and there's a possibility with Trump that that could happen. I would say possibility. We don't know much about him, whether he will actually do any of the things he says. We don't know. But there's a lot of people that have put a lot of hope back in this election. Again, as happens every 2 and 4 years, we truly are trained people to believe it matters. When so much that happens in hashtag the American Union has absolutely nothing to do with you going to the polls. Nothing. The great illusion is you're required to do your civic duty every 4 years and take a 20 minutes out of your day and supposedly cast a vote for representatives that are going to represent your interest in Congress. And yet the facts of the matter are that that's never what happens, is it? But nevertheless, people are once again, as we have all been trained to do, to get all excited about this election and believing that somehow this is going to be provide a different outcome. When down deep, we all know that with some minor caveat here with Trump, if he's the president, the likelihood, certainly if she is, government is going to get bigger, it's going to become more powerful, and it's going to be more in debt. Those are just three baked-in ideas when it comes to this silly system of government we have, which is not a representative republic, by the way. Yeah, it represents somebody. It represents an oligarch. That's who it represents. You just live in the illusion that it represents you and me. It doesn't. But nevertheless, people are excited and they're waiting to see. But I need to forewarn you that Tuesday, a lot has to happen between now and Tuesday for her to come down. And I see silver linings in both of these guys. Because I don't put my hope in Washington, D.C. at all. I have 0.0 hope in Washington, D.C. doing anything that remotely equates to scriptural understanding of community or society. I don't have any hope that Washington, D.C. is going to actually do anything. So I don't put my hope there. I don't sit on the edge of my seat. You have no idea how free I am during this election cycle. My emotions, my blood pressure doesn't go up. My emotions don't get wrapped up in this. Because I know that the likelihood of whoever is there in Washington, D.C. in January of 2017 is going to contribute to the government being bigger, more powerful, and more in debt. That's just a reality. I accepted that reality a while back. Hang on one second. Let me just type in something real quick. I've accepted that reality, and I don't live my life around this national election circus. It really occupies very little of my thinking. In 2016, it really does not possess much of my thinking at all. It just is what it is, and so. You know, I don't get all wrapped up in this thing. It is what it is. I have to talk about it. We'll be through it here in another 6 days. It'll be over. Then all the discussion that will be necessary after will begin. And, that's what we'll move forward. We'll move forward in talking about real solutions, accepting that the reality is probably nothing is going to change that much. So, nevertheless, I'm not ignorant of the state of affairs and hashtag the Exceptional American Union. I'm fully aware that most people who are politically active are going to conclude differently than I have concluded at this stage of the game. They are going to believe that this election has profound consequences and that my vote matters somehow. When really, folks, think about this for a second. I live in Oklahoma. There is 0.0 chance that Donald Trump is not going to carry Oklahoma. It is going to be by wide margins, probably 60-40, 70-30, 80, maybe 80-20, who knows. There is no chance on any universe that you and I are aware of by which Oklahoma will go Hillary. So, you know,
0.0.
Get going, Christopher. It's exactly the chance of Oklahoma going Hillary. It ain't going to happen. So does my vote matter? Does it matter? Does your vote matter if you live in Oklahoma? Of course it doesn't. It doesn't matter a bit. This is one of the tools that our masters, our rulers, use to concoct an idea that we're in control. Every vote matters, Kreslins. Don't you know that? Well, of the million or so votes that'll be cast, does one really matter? Mine? Can somebody please point me to the last time a national election circus has been decided by one vote? Now, I know everybody wants to rush over to Florida. And remember, it came down to a few thousand votes at the end of the day after all the counting. But nobody really knows even the extent of the fraud that occurred in Florida during Bush 2's first term. Now, this idea that a single vote matters, and I guess you could make at least a better case in Florida that year it mattered. But in Oklahoma, where I'm going to cast my vote today, does my vote matter a bit? No, of course it doesn't. Come on. In fact, when I think that it does, then I really just play into the hands of my rulers and say, oh, I gotta think this thing through. Gotta make sure I cast it right. Cast it for the guy or the gal that's going to bring about and maintain this political structure that gives us all this freedom. And so, you know, in 6 days, we'll be able to talk about the consequences of these next coming 6 days, and we can get on to more important discussions about how we end abortion in our states, how we end the murderous execution of babies, the 30 in Oklahoma that will happen today, the 180 that will happen over the next 6 days. We can get into real discussions about how to do that. We can get into real discussions about how to regain control of your state borders again. We can get back to real discussions about real solutions versus sophomoric ones. And this national election circus fits right into the definition of a sophomoric solution with a minor caveat towards Donald Trump, because on the campaign trail, he talks in terms of tearing down, you know, or cleaning house in Washington, D.C. You know, he doesn't understand the power up there. I was talking to some folks over the weekend about committee chairman, and this is just a lack of understanding by most people. They just don't work there. They didn't work there. They don't understand the power of these little demigods that run around and are called committee chairman. When they walk down the hall, there goes Chairman Jones or Chairman Smith, and they've got their little posse of people following behind. They look all important walking through the halls of Congress, because they are. They really are very important. They have a tremendous amount of power. It was one of the great jokes about the Ross Perot campaign. Oh, I'm just going to get up under the lift the hood of the car, and we're going to get in there, and we're going to work on these problems, and blah, 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 blah. As if he was the CEO of Congress. Even if that was the model of government, which it isn't, which of course we don't really follow at all, these guys are committee chairmen. They have vast power. They have control over billions of billions of dollars, which are then doled out to special interest groups that have massive control over the apparatus of the White House. The whole thing is a rigged game. It's why I start out my show with The Matrix and Morpheus describing or telling Neo to look around you. Everybody thinks they're free, but they're not. They don't even know they're part of a matrix. In fact, they're so inured by this idea that they are free, they're going to fight to defend their own slavery. That's where we are today. Congress isn't run by the people. Trump isn't going to get in there and lift the hood of the car and act as a CEO to Congress. Congress isn't going to take that. I mean, these guys are megalomaniacs. I don't think people fully understand the degree of their psychosis. They're sociopaths. Committee chairmen are unbelievably powerful. You're not going to take down. No president, unless there's some scandal related to nowadays, it almost has to be caught with some intimate relations with a donkey to do anything. You all remember Jerry Studs, right? My friend Ephraim sent me a piece yesterday. Let me see if we can bring it up real quick here. That Jerry Studs, the wonderful congressman from Massachusetts, who was censored by the U.S., the great U.S. House of Representatives, was censored because of his fiddling with little boys, well, 17-year-old male pages. This is what it says here. This is the Washington Post from August 12, 1983, Martha's Vineyard, August 11. Representative Jerry E. Studs, Democrat from Massachusetts, was greeted in his secluded resort tonight with two standing ovations from several hundred residents and summer visitors who turned out for the congressman's first town meeting since he was censored by his House colleagues for sexual misconduct with a 17-year-old male page. Ephraim went on to tell me that after he was censored, he served another 12 years in the House. Jerry Studs, I mean, unless you get caught nowadays, I think you'd probably have to get caught ramming a knife in somebody's neck as a congressman for anything to actually happen. You'd have to be filmed doing that. So unless there's some scandal out there on some committee chairman, Trump ain't taking down a committee chairman. Don't forget, they've got the power of the media as well. And if Trump starts upsetting the apple cart up there by using the bully pulpit, there's nothing that prevents the media from just saying, we're not going to cover it. The White House press operation is pretty substantive. But the reality is, it only has so much power. It can't order ABC to cover anything. And then if the willing accomplices in mainstream media get particularly torqued at something Trump's done, they'll just go on the attack themselves during their question and answer period. So if he's the most well-meaning president ever and he gets into that office and he starts naming names, he can definitely rattle some cages up there. What we don't know and what we don't know aren't aware of are the meetings that happen in closed doors, behind the scenes, that will take this guy down. You're talking, as Mike describes it, this is the $4 trillion all-you-can-eat buffet table. You're talking about trillions of dollars and power and control, a smorgasbord of evil that goes into this government every year. Evil doesn't, you don't approach the devil and say, hey, you know, you're wrong and we think you should change your mind. And then he says, oh, you know what? I hadn't thought about that before. You know, your argument's pretty persuasive. It's pretty powerful. Yeah, I think I've been wrong. Yeah, I'm going to reevaluate all this, and I'll get back to you. I'll make some big changes. That's not how evil works. Evil is evil. We call it evil because it's evil. And Washington, D.C. is an evil enterprise. It's got its own religion. Unfortunately, Americans bow down to this new civic religion. We're going to do it next Tuesday. People are going to assent to the continuation of the current religion, the civic religion. They cloak themselves in constitutions and all this other baloney that means absolutely nothing. They use patriotic language. They fly jets over stadiums. And the Americans swoon. You got Toby Keith out there telling people, we're going to put a boot in your rear end. It's the American way. This all is cover for the evil that goes on there in Washington, D.C. So let's imagine Trump is the most well-meaning person in the world. He gets sworn in and he begins rattling the cages. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. But we don't know the outcome, but I know exactly what's going to happen. The pushback on this guy is going to be beyond what any of us can understand. As he begins to truly clean house, if that's what he does, you better pray for his safety, physical safety. You know, there will always be a mystery that surrounds JFK's assassination, but at the end of the day, he took a bullet in the head. When you start dinking around with major forces of evil, you better pray for this guy's safety, because they can take out one guy. This is why when I talk about secession, I don't talk about personal secession. I'll get to that in a moment. I talk about a state seceding. The state is the only practical way to do it right now. It's the only way to marshal the forces to stop what the evildoers will do to one person. That's why, as I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, when you think about secession, it has to be a very diffuse leadership of it. It can't be one person leading a secession movement. They take out the one leader. You made their job easy. You better spread leadership over a whole bunch of people. Now, I recognize that poses its own difficulties. About the only way you're going to be successful. So if Trump gets in there and he's as well-meaning as we all hope that he is, that doesn't mean he can't win. It just means that we need to be, number one, praying for his physical safety. If he goes in there and truly does, quote-unquote, clean house, it doesn't matter which party's in the House or the Senate. He has made so many enemies right now. And if he truly does apply his business instincts and starts demanding audits of budgets and figuring out where all the bodies are laid, and don't think for a minute that the Republicans are going to come to his aid. They'll only come to his aid if it suits their end goals. This guy will be out there swinging on his own. With his staff, now, you know, and the Secret Service that'll be there to protect him. But if he truly does start rattling cages up there, don't think the Republican Party is going to stand by his side unless it suits their needs. If the rattling of the cages suits their needs, then they'll stand with him. But if it runs counter to what their special interests in their own congressional districts that have been feeding them campaign contributions, their whole career as a politician. How's that for a great idea? Let's have career politicians. Oh, that'll work out great. People who've spent their entire lives not working, but just living off the trough of stolen, confiscated tax dollars. If he starts rattling their security, you think they're going to... These are not principled people. It's what I've maintained since day one of this show and for many years of thinking now. People who raise their hand and run for office, by and large, not exclusively, not totally, by and large, are not noble people. These are not principled people. You know how you can tell they're not principled people? Look at their voting records. Because during the campaign, they'll say something, and then look at what they actually do. Talk is cheap, as it's been said. And politicians are well-versed in talk. They know how to do it. So Trump gets into power and starts rattling cages and crosses some Republican chairman. Don't think that Republican chairman won't turn on Trump in a second. You know, there are some interesting taped phone calls between LBJ and some committee chairman. You got to listen to them. I've listened to a bunch of them over the years where they recorded his conversations. You ought to hear some of the ways they make the deals. They do the dirty deed of expanding federal power. And if you got crosswise with old Lyndon, he'd let you know it with some veiled threats that he had tools as well as the president. So, and that wasn't even, it's not like LBJ rattled any cage. That's just routine business. That's just how business is done in this bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, illegitimate, evil system of government we have. That's normal business. That's trading cattle. That's all that was. That wasn't Lyndon B. Johnson doing anything noble, rattling any cages. That's just trading cattle. How many can I get? And listen to some of those tape phone calls. Then you'll hear how the sausage is made up there. So, we're going to just have to live out these next 6 days and go through them. I can't wait till this is over. I'll be glad when it's over. I don't think you folks in the listening audience are necessarily caught up like the reports I read on Drudge Report and over on Facebook. He's gaining ground. Maybe he is. You know, the polls suggest that he's picking up some speed here. But we've got to break this thinking at some point. Otherwise, you know, I've found a great article that kind of describes this, and I'm going to read bits of it when we get into this discussion about secession. The title, and it's a fairly common concept out there. The title of the article is "The Illusion of Freedom." It's a phrase I use routinely on the show here. We live in an illusion of freedom. Now, this guy's got a different take on it that I think is actually a pretty interesting take. I'm going to think about it more and more. But, you know, the government doesn't have to come and do anything to anybody. Why? Because we're going to demonstrate next Tuesday, 120 million people are going to go and say, we consent to your rule. Now they're going to be opposing sides, but what are they really opposing? They're opposing each other, the right versus left paradigm, the Democrat versus Republican paradigm. Yeah, they're opposed. They think they're opposing each other, but they're not. They're almost one and the same. But people are going to walk away with their I voted stickers. I'm seeing them pop up on my Facebook page now, people taking pictures of themselves with their I voted sticker on their lapel. And they leave the polls thinking they've done some great deed that's going to show Washington. I sent Washington a message. You didn't send Washington anything. You told Washington that for the next 4 years, I consent to you ruling me. I consent to your arbitrary and capricious system of government. That's all you've done. Now, people think that their vote equates to representation. It doesn't equate to representation at all. It equates to consent to what's going on. That's all it does. It legitimizes the illegitimate. So, you know, we've got to break people's minds free. That clip at the beginning of my show every morning is spot on. You remember the scene in The Matrix when Morpheus offers the red pill and the blue pill. Take one, changes everything. Take the other, leaves things exactly the same. You won't know any better.